Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to St. Luke, as we hear of Mary visiting Elizabeth, beginning with verse 39 of the first chapter. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child in her womb leaped, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. We are beginning the second week of our sermon series through this Advent season as we prepare for Christ at Christmas. We know that we experience God in different ways. So last week we thought through parts of the Christmas story through the sense of taste. This week we have the sense of touch, and then in the coming weeks we will have smell and sound, and then Christmas Eve evening sight. So there is a woman in her mid-30s named Julie Malloy. And Julie has a rare form of a congenital insensitivity to pain. According to an article about Julie, she has no sensation of touch, temperature, deep pressure, or vibration in her limbs and parts of her chest and back. This disorder is caused by a gene mutation that disrupts the development of sensory nerve fibers, those things that you need to carry signals about sensations such as touch and pain, temperature, all to your brain. For Julie, the condition is frustrating and oftentimes isolating. Of all the senses, touch is the one that grounds us in our daily lives and connects us to our surroundings. You see, Julie doesn't know the prick of dewy grass on her feet. She doesn't know the confidence that's transmitted in a firm handshake. She doesn't know the comfort and warmth of a Saturday morning snuggled beneath the covers. Buttoning a shirt is impossible. Typing is a great labor. Walking requires attention to each step, having to look at the ground to make sure she knows how her foot is connecting with the floor each step she takes, because she can't feel the floor underneath her feet. Touch is something that we rely on so much more than we realize. For Julie, if she's in a dark room, she can't see the floor. So she doesn't know where to go. She doesn't have that sense of touch that she can feel around blindly for her way. She relies on her other senses, like sight in the darkness. You know, it even transmits to something as mundane as cutting a potato. For Julie, she has to think about if she's gripping the knife, how she's holding it, what angle the blade is tilted at, how hard to press down to go through the potato, where her other fingers are at. For you and me, if our fingers are in the wrong spot, we know. Julie doesn't have that sensation to know. She she takes cold showers because she can't tell the difference between hot water and cold water, and she doesn't want to be burned. She doesn't feel pressure, so she ends up with all sorts of bruises and cuts and scrapes and sores that she never felt happen. What if you didn't have these sensations? These everyday things that we touch and feel and interact with. And thinking about the Christmas story, what if you didn't know the sensation of holding a baby? If you'd never experienced that touch. Elizabeth was a woman who lived a long time ago. She'd been a wife for a long time, but for much of her marriage, she was not a mother. Her husband, Zechariah, was a priest at the temple, and Elizabeth was from a priestly family as well. Both Elizabeth and Zechariah were well-versed in Scripture, and presumably they were close to God. Elizabeth is one who is named as a faithful follower of God, a godly woman. Yet, as a young woman, she did not conceive a child. And in her middle years, Elizabeth still did not conceive a child. As an older woman, she was considered barren, one who had a lifelong empty womb. But God intervened in Elizabeth's life, and even in her advanced age, she became pregnant, a promise of God in her life. However, God wasn't done intervening. God also intervened in the life of a relative of Elizabeth, a cousin of hers, a woman named Mary, a young woman. And Mary, too, became pregnant. So Mary goes off to visit her cousin. And as she arrives at Elizabeth's house, amazing things happen. As soon as she calls out in the doorway a greeting, hello, to her cousin, something happens. We're told that there is a leap of the unborn child in Elizabeth's womb as Mary approaches. This isn't an ordinary baby wiggle. It's not a kick or a punch or a squirm that we might recognize. It's a distinct leap. At the moment of the visit of God in Mary's womb, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit along with the child who is within her. This spirit-filled child of Elizabeth goes on to keep the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, this is the one we know as John, John the Baptist, the one who baptizes Jesus himself in the River Jordan, touching the life of Jesus and marking Jesus' ministry in God's name. Elizabeth very literally feels the touch of God in her life. And each of us has the opportunity throughout our lives to feel the touch of God on us. Elizabeth hasn't seen Jesus when she feels that first touch of him in her life. And though we may not have seen Jesus, we too know what it's like to have God touch our lives. Think of a time when you have felt the touch of God in your life, a moment when you were assured of God's presence with you, or when you knew that God was at work in your life, aligning things just so. It doesn't have to be a big touch or a profound leap. Elizabeth felt a leap, but that's not the only way that we experience the touch of God. The touch of God is essential in our lives as Christians, and sometimes we feel it as a gentle touch, and other times it feels more like a sharp elbow in the ribs. Sometimes we need different touches at different points in our walk with God. Sometimes we really do need that gentle, reassuring hand on our shoulder to remind us that God goes with us. And sometimes what we best need is a firm shove forward to encourage us to step out in a new way and to grow in our faith. The question for us to wrestle with as we anticipate Christmas this year is, how will we respond to God's touches in our lives? Will we receive them and treasure them, ponder them, or will we push back against God? Elizabeth responds with joy and thanksgiving. She calls Mary blessed, and the fruit of her womb also is blessed, says Elizabeth. Elizabeth responds with joy and thanksgiving. How will we respond? I want you to contemplate what your response to God may be as I read you a poem by Myra Welch called The Touch of the Master's Hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it was scarcely worth his while to waste much time on an old violin, but held it up with a smile. "What am I bidden, good folks?" he cried. "Who will start the bidding for me? $1, $1, then two, only two? $2, and who will make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but no." From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with a bow. $1,000, and who will make it two? $2,000, and who will make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand. What changed the worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Thanks be to God for the touch of the master's hand in each of our lives. Amen.